Awesome. Thank you, Joyce. It's good to be here. Oh, I love home. This is home to me. I grew up in Northern Ontario, here in the Sioux, Gooley River, Thessalon, and then my last 2 years before I went off to college, I was here in the Sioux. So, welcome. And I wanted to say a thank you on behalf of my mom and my brother. Your prayers have carried us through. So thank you. We have felt very loved, very supported. If you don't know, if you're new here, my father passed away in January. And so it blew us away. The generosity, the kindness, the prayers, the texts, the phone calls, the gifts, really, truly. So thank you. I didn't expect to cry right off the bat, but here we are. I'm a little bit of a crybaby. So welcome this morning. I hear you've been talking about women of the Bible, and my guess is you've probably, you've probably touched on most of the prominent women, because I think you're coming up on the end of 2 years of study. So I thought I would go a little more obscure, and we'd talk about the issue of the woman with the issue of blood. And I know, right? It's a little bit, you know, we can now talk girl talk here because there are no fellas in the area. And if they are nearby, they're going to have to enter at their own risk. So we have probably all heard this story, or most of us have. It's a woman, she struggled with the issue of blood for 12 years. She then touches Jesus' cloak. He then says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." The end, it could be, but the reality is it's so much more than that, so I would love to dig in this morning. The woman with the issue of blood, she's nameless. Can you imagine being nameless and only being referred to by your condition? Well, Elisa, she's the issue with a little extra weight or a little impatience with her children, right? Like, can you imagine being, that is your identity? The woman with the issue of blood. And can I just say, if I've been bleeding for 12 years, it's more than just an issue. It's not like my credit card bill is, I need to discuss the issue going on. This is a significant, devastating physical problem. There are two thoughts of school on this issue of bleeding. One, it's called menorrhagia, which really is just prolonged menstrual bleeding, clotting, disorders in the platelet, abnormal uterine bleeding. The other, in Luke, it actually says that it was hemorrhaging. Whichever way you would want to go, the scholars call it different things. Either way, because she was continually bleeding, by Jewish law, she was sava. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but she was a menstruating woman, and because of that, she was ceremonially unclean for 12 years. 12 years. Can we sit with that for a minute? That's 4,380 days with your period, or worse. Can you imagine? Anyone here have a hard, long period? I bet we all have a few horror stories to deal with our period. I'm going to tell you one real quick one, and I know only because there are no men around. So I was in college. I went to Moody Bible Institute, and we had to go off campus to take a few classes because they didn't offer all of the general ed classes. And so I went downtown to a small community college, and I was taking a class, and there was another guy that went to Moody. He happened to be in the same class, and we were sitting in class. It was a three-hour night class, and almost near the end of the class, oh, by the way, I was sporting my Canadian roots, white sweatpants. Oh, you know where this is going, don't you? Oh, yeah. Yep, that was it. So I'm sitting in class, and you know, you just get that feeling like, oh, I might have just started something. And it wasn't just like a little, oh, it was a lot. And it was one of those, I was just like, you've got to be kidding. I am a 20-minute walk back to school. I am in white jogging pants. And so I did not have like a sweater that I could do the tie, you know, we have the tricks, right? We tie the shirt around, you know. So bless my friend's heart. I really didn't know him that well at the time. He was just a guy from school, but I excused myself, and then I waited to the end of class because it was not, like, I'm going to, too much information, but it was a lot. And so I then, it's like, how do I get out of this building with hundreds of kids ending class at the same time? So I kind of just slipped up to Jim, it was his name, and I was like, Jim. And thankfully he had sisters, you know? He kind of knew. He's like, let me just walk behind you. So he walked right behind me down the escalator and out to the street. And then would you even believe he gave me his jacket so that I could tie it around. Was that not the most amazing gift of kindness that you could receive? So I'll never forget that. That was back in 1988 maybe, so a long time ago. So yay for Jim, right? Anyway, I tell that because this is a devastating physical problem she had. That was one little story that I had. She was dealing with this for 12 years. So back to the woman with the issue of blood. She's isolated, and she's longing for healing. And maybe you're here this morning. You long to be healed. Maybe you might not be physically bleeding, but you might have a diagnosis. Cancer. Maybe you have a broken heart. Maybe you've lost someone. Maybe you had childhood trauma that you need healing from. Maybe you have back pain or knee pain or leg pain. I'd say that each of us in this room could use healing of some sort because A, we're human, and B, we're broken. That's just part of being on this planet. And I think the woman of with the issue of blood can be this incredible role model for us. I want to jump into the text and unpack a little piece of her journey. We don't know much about her. Her story is in 3 of the 4 Gospels. John's the only one that doesn't talk about this. As a little plug, I don't know if any of you are familiar with The Chosen, but in season 3, episodes 4 and 5 tell a piece of her story. And I debated on whether to even include a little clip here because it's that powerful. So if you have the time and want to do that, you can go online and just download that and just skip through and find. It's The Chosen, it's season 3, episodes 4 and 5. It kind of tells a piece of her story in each of those episodes. Kurt, I think you have to go online to actually download it. Yep. Or if someone has a DVD, you could maybe borrow. But anyway, I'm going to read us the piece from Mark out of the NIV. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with Jesus, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Wow, that's a lot. So she's a little bit of a summary. She's suffering for 12 years. She suffered a great deal. She's been to all sorts of doctors. She's lost all of her money. No one's seeming to help. She was getting actually worse instead of better. She was without physical touch for 12 years. I want to jump to the Old Testament for a minute because I think this is a significant piece of the story. There was a Levitical law, Leviticus 15, around a woman's period. I think I just would have been dead if I lived in the Old Testament times. There were so many laws about everything. Oh, good. Thank you for grace, right, Lord? So anyway, I'm going to skip through this and just highlight a few of these pieces. But Leviticus 15, verses 19 to 32 address your period and a woman's period. And so it says, when a woman has a regular flow of blood, the impurity of her monthly period will last 7 days, and anyone who touches her will be unclean until evening. Anything she lies on during her period will be unclean. Anyone who touches anything that she was sitting on is unclean. Anything she was sitting on was unclean. And all of these things, they had to wash whatever it was she was on, and then they had to wash themselves. There, and it's verse 25 says, "Woman, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge." This woman was unclean for 12 years, and that meant she couldn't worship. She couldn't go into the temple. She couldn't be with people. Nobody. She was ostracized. This is a big deal. She was alone and isolated, and she was always doing laundry. Heaven help us. So, but anyway, that's the least of her concerns. I want to jump to point number one this morning. I would say she was desperate. She had tried it all, and nothing was working. Verse 27, though, offers this little glimpse. It says, when she heard about Jesus. And here's what I want to say. When she heard, because other people shared. So I think this is one of the things we can get out of this. We should be telling others what the impact Jesus has had on our lives, because without someone hearing about Jesus, they don't know the freedom and the peace and the hope that he offers. It's an opportunity to tell others about Jesus. And so she heard these reports about Jesus, the hope that he was offering, the healing that he was doing. And in her desperation, she thought, if I can just get to Jesus. Verse 28 says, she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. In her desperation, she responded to what she'd heard. She didn't stay stuck. Her desperation drove her to Jesus. So, what have you heard about Jesus? What have I heard about Jesus? Do we believe that Jesus can heal us and help us in our troubles and our trials? And if we believe that, what do we need to do in response today to hearing the good news that God is Jehovah Rapha, our healer? So the woman with the issue of blood was desperate. Point number two, she was determined. The crowd was huge that day. It said a large crowd followed. Twice in that text, it talked about the size of this crowd. Jesus had just arrived in town. He was gaining a following. The woman with the issue of blood had significant obstacles to go through if she was going to get to Jesus. It wasn't easy. She could have given up, right, and said, oh, that crowd's too big. I'm not going to do that. But instead, she squeezed through the crowd. She dodged. She got to Jesus. She was determined because for the first time in 12 years, she had hope. If I can just get to Jesus. Her first response when she heard the good news about Jesus was to get to him. Can that be said of you? Of us? Is Jesus our first response when we're hurting, when we need healing? Or do we go to others first? Or to quick fixes? Food, internet, alcohol, whatever that extra thing is that we go to instead of running to Jesus first. We would each have different things according to who we are and how we're wired, what draws us in away from Jesus. But the woman with the issue of blood, her first response was to get to Jesus. And what a model that is for us, right? Our daily response should be, I'm determined to get to Jesus today in the middle of this, instead of setting him off to the side and trying to figure it out myself. Our third point this morning is that she was delivered. It says her bleeding immediately stopped when she got to Jesus. She was delivered from that physical suffering that she had faced. And deliverance can look a lot of different ways. You know, maybe like you, she needed physical healing. Maybe like you, you need physical healing too. And again, I mentioned earlier, maybe that's cancer or pain, back pain, childhood trauma, sadness, fear. Maybe you need spiritual deliverance. She was delivered spiritually too. We'll talk about that in just a second. But maybe you're here this morning and you're stuck. You're trying to do it on your own and you're failing again. Maybe you're facing habits of sin that you just can't seem to get through, get away from, or habits that you just know that are unhealthy. Maybe this morning you don't even know Jesus. I don't know. Because I don't come to this church, I don't know who knows the Lord and who doesn't. But maybe this morning is time for you to take that spiritual, that healing of going from death to life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so maybe for you, that's the healing you need in your life. Maybe you need deliverance from isolation, separation, turmoil, stress. Because of this issue of bleeding, this woman was all alone until Jesus saw her and claimed her as daughter. She was no longer nameless. She was daughter. Verse 34 says that Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from suffering." So Jesus offered her identity, and he offered her freedom. Her identity, she was now a daughter. Jesus claimed her, no longer nameless. She now has an identity that Jesus gives her, a place to belong. He welcomes her as his own. It also says that he offered her freedom. Jesus tells her to go in peace. And that word peace is way bigger than our English word for peace. It's that idea of shalom, that complete wholeness, wellness. It actually even infers a continual wholeness. It's not just a once and done, but it's a continue to be well. He had cured her, but he was offering her peace and wholeness. Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you." It wasn't her touching him that healed her. So it's not what we do, right? And it's not about the strength of our faith. The Bible's really clear. We just need the tiniest little mustard seed of faith. That's all we need. It's who we have our trust in. That's what faith is all about. Our trust in Jesus. So she heard about Jesus and she chose to believe that he is who he says he is. This beautiful story is sandwiched right in between the telling of Jairus, who is a synagogue leader, and he's the one that starts this dialogue off, and he goes to Jesus and says, "Please come and put your hands, touch my daughter, so that she'll be healed and that she'll live." And on the way to one daughter, Jesus claims another as his own. This daughter that had past tense, the issue of blood. One encounter with Jesus can change our lives. And when we know Jesus, and when we get to him regularly, our lives can continually be changed. That's called sanctification. That's the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. This winter, we walked in this thin place, this space between heaven and earth, with my father as he was passing, and I can say that nothing I want more is to just get to Jesus. Nothing else actually really matters. The stuff of the world becomes very, very dim when you're sitting in that space, that thin space, between heaven and earth. It's what my dad wanted. He was ready. He wanted to see Jesus, literally. And we kept thinking, can we just go along on your coattails just to get a little glimpse? Because wouldn't that be incredible? Someday, if we know Jesus, we will get that experience. But we don't have to wait until that moment at near the end of our lives. For one, we don't know when that will be. That could be today or 30 years from now. We don't know. But the other is that we can get to Jesus now, today. We can read his word. We can go to church and fellowship and be fed with our body of believers, the other Christians around us. We can serve others. We can pray. There are so many ways that we can get to Jesus. I want to read a quote by Johnny Erickson Tada. God may remove your suffering, and that will be great cause for praise. But if not, he will use your suffering. He will use anything and everything that stands in the way of his fellowship with you. So let God mold you and make you, transform you from glory to glory. That's the deeper healing. Ladies, let's be like Jesus' daughter. Let's get ourselves to him. That's all I have. Thank you. I'm not